it's a good morning. And I feel the Holy Spirit here, and I'm excited. You know, I was studying the other night, Thursday night. Mary and I went off for a few days and didn't really have the chance to do what I normally would do, although I knew the text and had already looked at it and kind of reading the scripture passages along the way. And so Thursday night I spent a couple of hours late, just before bedtime, taking a look at the Word. And, you know, it's exciting to me to study God's Word. And I'm sitting there, and when I laid my head on the pillow, when Mary and I went to sleep, I must have carried on for about 5 or 10 minutes telling her about some of the things I was learning or how God was speaking to me and motivating me. And, you know, it's a privilege to do what I do. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to study. And I love it when God opens up things and He shows things to me, gives me things to talk about, and He speaks to my heart. By the way, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, mostly all of the chapter, but in particular verses 3 through 13, and then the final two verses, 17 and 18. And, well, this is some great stuff, and I've got some good things here for you that I'm excited about. You know, if it doesn't really give me a buzz, I'm not going to share it with you. I like to get excited, and when God does that to me, I feel like, man, I'm on. How lucky, how blessed, how fortunate I really am. And to have you where you come week after week, and we're getting to know each other, and I want to know you better. By the way, write this down. Here's my phone number. Feel free to call me. I have never hidden my phone number from anybody. You can call me at any time. If I can't take the call at that time, I won't answer, and or I'll take it, and I'll tell you, I'll get back to you shortly. But it's 214-708-1165. So, my number, my cell, 214-708-1165. Feel free to call me at any time. And then the email, if you don't have our email address, and I think we're going to get some sheets of everybody on roll, and you should have our email address there, but it's Mary. That's my love over here, so I like to put her name first. She's important to me. She's first in my life, right up there with God. So it's Mary, M-A-R-Y, little letters, all little letters, dot, then me, Ron, R-O-N. We have another Ron over here. Ron. So we got mary.ron@att.net. So you can email me at any time. Feel free to email and I'll email you back. Or you can text me. I get a lot of text messages even from my family. They'll text like on Thanksgiving. I got more texts from the family. And my next oldest son, we carry on when football season's going on. We carry on a conversation. I almost feel like I'm talking to him, but we're texting back and forth, and that's real good. By the way, a verse that I wanted to share with you today was Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Anybody know that verse offhand? Huh? Call to me.
I will answer.
Yeah, I will answer. There you go.
Show thee great mighty things without.
There you go. Reminds me of this stuff back here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I think in Jeremiah 29, go back there, and I don't know if it's verse 17 or somewhere in there. I think it's 29. Read Jeremiah. And we all always be reading the Bible, but I want to share with you. Call to me. That's so important. God is asking us to call to Him. And when we're hurting, when we're in pain, when we're in sorrow, and don't think I haven't been there. You know, I'm thankful to be where I'm at today, and I'm blessed in so many ways. And I love to tell God about every single little blessing because He just keeps adding them on. So as long as He keeps adding them on, I'm going to keep saying thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Well, let's move on here. Let's take a look. Let's do this first. Oh, one other thing here. I thought that, you know, Mary told me this was over there last week, and she said Dwayne dropped it off. And so I thought, as I have heard some things about Dwayne, that he left this here. And I didn't really get a chance to look at this until this past Thursday. And I opened it up. He told me, we had dinner that night, the Thanksgiving dinner here. He sat next to me. And he said, this was from the class. So class, thank you for this. This is our daily bread. It's a devotional Bible. It's a new living translation, the NLT. I don't actually have one of those. I got it on software. But I don't have it in hand like this. I actually like to read things. So this is wonderful. But when I opened the inside, I literally cried. I was emotional about that. I cry a lot. I got my emotions from my mom. Or at least that's how I interpret it. I got my emotions from my mother. But, you know, this blessed me. All these signatures in here. So, what I'm going to do is try to remember to bring this over the next several weeks. If you haven't signed this, I'm going to set it right over here if you want to come up now while I'm teaching. Sign that, or maybe immediately after class. I know we're going to go to worship. But next week I'll bring it. I would love your signature on there too. And thank you, class. Thank you so much for that. I've already dug into that the other day, and I'm pretty excited about having the opportunity to read in that this upcoming year. It'll take me through the entire Bible in a year. I want to get started on that. On your table, you may have one of these little things. And this is some stuff. Let's just kind of walk through this, and then we'll get in particular back to the scripture passages in our remaining time. But I want to walk through this real fast. We're talking about anticipation. That's the title of our lesson. A believer's hope is in the return of Jesus. But what do we mean by anticipation? I need your answers here. What do we mean by anticipation? You know what? One of my favorite songs by Carly Simon is Anticipation. I think it's a love song. But I love that song, Anticipation. But what do we mean by anticipation in our text today?
Waiting.
Looking forward to. Yeah, good. By the way, you all are. I've never been involved with a class that has so many worker bees. Or Eric, this is exciting. The people behind the scenes, and I'm getting to see what some of you do, and some of you tell me afterwards, well, Ron, I say, hey, I missed you. Well, I was here. I was praying. I was doing this. I had to serve here. I love that. I want us involved. You know, I'm not ready to be put out to pasture. I'm sorry. You know, you see those little calves out there? Boy, they prance and run around. They're everywhere. The other cows are just chewing the cud, and they're just looking at each other. He'll be like us. You know, that's not how I want to go out in this world. I want to go out with vitality, with vigor. Remember JFK? You know, vigor? I want to go out with some vigor. I want to go out enthused, excited. Anticipation. What else could we say about anticipation? What do we anticipate? Things hoped for, yes. What else?
Return of Jesus.
Yeah, the return of Jesus, absolutely. And that's real. And there's a lot of folks that say, nah, it's been a couple thousand years. It's not real. It's not genuine. Sorry. And so Peter addresses that today. So look at number one there. It says, with what sort of people do you find it hard to be patient? Well, I could actually tell you that. We don't answer that personally. We could say it. But I mean, just think about that. There are people sometimes it's hard for us to get along with. It's hard to have patience with them. So, what did Peter say? And we'll kind of run through some of these here because it's going to give us an idea of what we're talking about today. And I thought that's how we'll do this. Plus, I wanted you to see this. What did Peter say would occur in the last days? Well, we'll see that. What will the scoffers, there's an answer already, say? What will they say in the last days? By the way, we're in the last days. When Christ died on that cross, we're in the last days. What did Peter tell his readers not to forget? Well, we'll see that. By the way, Peter, who is Peter that we're talking about here? Which Peter is this? Yeah, the Apostle Peter. And why is he always using the word remember? Why is he thinking that's important for us? He's the one telling us, remember. He said it over and over again already in our studies. Remember, remember. I'm going to remind you of this. I want you to don't forget this. Why is he the one saying this?
Part of our life.
Yeah.
Part of our being.
Absolutely. Very good.
Jesus remembered him in his time
separation.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Remember this? Oh, Lord, I won't do that. I won't let them do this to you. And Jesus said, boy, I tell you what, before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. And when that third time occurs, the Bible says their eyes, as Jesus was being moved through the praetorium there, their eyes caught each other. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you at that moment when you denied Him? He forgot what He had said earlier in the day. And so Peter's saying right here, man, don't forget what you said. Don't forget what you told God, because He remembers the Lord looking at Him with those piercing, loving, comforting eyes. And it broke his heart. And he thought, man, I have shamed my God. I'm left out in the cold. But before Jesus ascended, He came up to him at a beautiful men's breakfast that day. God preparing the food. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Gosh, what a great story there. That's the Peter we're talking about. That's why he's telling us to remember. And you know what? We have a hard time. I can't even remember where my glasses are sometimes, where my car keys are. Some of us run around the house telling our little wife, where's my other sock? Because we can't remember where they are. Isn't it amazing how that from the washing machine to the dryer to try to get it in your little chest of drawers, those things disappear? Then all of a sudden, like magic, boom, there it is. There's that sock. All right, so what did Peter tell his readers not to forget? And why is the Lord patient? Boy, we want to zero in on that. Why is God patient? Have you personally benefited from God's patience? Boy, we ought to have a long discussion on that. Well, we don't have the time. But hey, we ought to go home and talk to our mates about it. Have we personally benefited from God's patience? And then look at verse 6. What do we mean by wholesome thinking? What do we mean? Somebody, give me an answer here. What do we mean by wholesome thinking? Because Peter tells us those are the things we ought to think about. The things that are wholesome. What's wholesome thinking? I'm sorry?
What's in the Bible?
Yeah, what's in the Bible? Remember, who was it? Paul? Was it Paul that said, think on these things, the things that are of good report, the things of sound mind, all those things that are, you know, the good things. Think on those things. Don't think about lust and sin and dirt and filth and perversion. That's the world out there. We don't want that. We want wholesome thinking. And how can we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Well, we talk about that in our lesson today. So here's some applications. What specific steps will you take this week to grow in Christ? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep digging into that NLT Bible you gave me over there and use that as an extra devotional. Not replace what I've got already, but add to it. Because I want to be encouraged by the Word of God. How can you change your routine to reflect your hope for Christ's return? Avoid teachers, and that's important, number two. Avoid teachers who deny the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. Or stay away from people that don't actually teach the Word of God or preach Jesus and Him crucified and a risen Savior. Be a student of both Old and New Testaments. Why is that important? Why is the Old Testament still important? Yeah. Well, we're going to use a couple of those testimonies today of the Old Testament. Since the Lord's delay provides opportunity to further extend the gospel message, look for occasions to share the good news of salvation. Think about it. If God tarries, that ought to give me more reason to reach my neighbors. I've got a man across the street from me. I know he's a foreigner. I know he doesn't believe like me. But I stopped my car coming home the other day, got out of my car with it running, chatted with my neighbor for a moment, because one, he's my neighbor. Because another thing I need to know, that I'm doing what I can to rub shoulders with him, to be a friend. That maybe someday I'll be able to talk to him about Jesus, or to assure myself of that. So we stop. He's telling me, Ron, I'm going to set some of those flashing lights. Well, I've got one. You know, those we set up those starburst lights or whatever they are, that laser beam on the house, you know. We set that up last year. Mary got that. I set that out in the yard. And so he had two of them. And last night we looked, didn't we, before he carried off to sleep. Mary, I showed Mary that, look at our neighbor's house there. And I was talking to him. God gives us opportunity, folks. And he says, feed my sheep if you love me. Peter knows that. Peter's trying to remind us of these things. So, number one, under foundational principles, the second coming of Jesus Christ is taught clearly and literally in the Bible. There's no doubt about that. Our pastor's been preaching, thank you, Jesus. Brother Jeffress has been preaching on heaven. You know what we ought to do? Before the end of the January, we ought to go back. I plan on doing that and hearing every one of those messages over again, taking my little notes that we got each Sunday and putting them in that little folder thing and making it complete. But it's important to know about heaven because that's our future. That's our return there. So we got the second coming of Jesus Christ is taught clearly and literally in the Bible. The Old Testament scriptures are an accurate word from God. They're still important. All Christ's followers are to exhibit love to others. My goodness, if we can't be loving toward others, how can God be loving toward us? This universe was created by God. We'll be judged by Him. That's what our pastor's been sharing. God desires that everyone be saved. He sure does. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But that's so true. Now, let's go into Scripture here. By the way, somebody get Genesis chapter 19. We'll read that in a moment, beginning with verse 12. Genesis 19. That's where Lot is being told to get out of Dodge. Right? So Genesis 19, we'll look at it there in a moment. I want all of us to turn there, but we'll get to that in a moment. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this. Oh, yeah. What if I started off by telling you this? What would you think I'm fixing to tell you if I said these words? Once upon a time. A what? I'd be telling a story, but once upon a time generally is related to what? Fairy tales. So we're not using once upon a time, although we're recollecting some of these things that happened in the past. So in verse 3 it says, and I'm reading from the Holman, because that's what's in our text here. If you're looking at our Sunday school lessons. And by the way, next week we start new Sunday school lessons. We're going to go through Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. I think that our Judges, Joshua, what is it? Let me see, I think I got it right here. Yes, starting off with Joshua, chapter 1 next week. So,
we have the
books. Yes, thank you, Betty. Yeah, we got the books. Bigger reading, littler reading, however good a reader you are. Hey, read through your Sunday school. I'm always taking the fact that you've read your Sunday school lesson before you get here. One of these days I'm going to ask you, I'll start off by saying, what's our Sunday school lesson about today? So it would be good if you read it, but I'll be asking that in a few weeks. First, he says, first. What do we mean by first? All right, wait a minute now. Where are the Dallas Cowboys? First. Okay, so what? What do we mean by first? Hey, first, he's saying. Be aware of this. Be aware of what? Be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days to scoff, living according to their own desires. You know, almost every cult, everything that's not Christian religion out there, almost every one of them, I'm not talking necessarily about some of those four or five key world religions, but almost every other religion has some form of sex, sexual immorality involved in it. God says, God really cares what we do as a man and a woman. God really cares about what we do with sex. But if you'll look at the cults, if you'll look at all of the other devices that are out there, the things that the scoffers, their own desires, there are so many people. In fact, during Jesus' day or after Jesus, what Paul and Peter were fighting were these folks who would claim that, you know, as long as you got the Holy Spirit in you, it didn't matter what you did on the outside of your body. You could do anything you wanted with your flesh. You got fleshly desires? Go for it. If it feels good, do it. That's our modern thinking today. But that's not the way it should be. God says your body is the temple of the living God. Whew. Oh, it's a shame what our world does to perverse sexuality today. To perverse what God said. One man, one woman, one lifetime. That's God's standard. God's standard is one man, one woman, one lifetime. It doesn't negate those who are single. Those who are carrying on for the Lord. Hey, first be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days to scoff. To scoff. That's what they're going to do. They're scoffers. Living according to their own desires. Saying, where is the promise of this of His coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have been since the beginning of creation. 5 and 6 here. They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth were brought about from water and through water by the word of God. He's talking about Genesis 1 there. He's talking about Genesis in the beginning. He's talking about, go back and read Genesis. I did. I looked at it last night. I looked at it reading through Genesis 1, those first several chapters. They're almost the whole chapter. Reading what God was doing. Through these waters, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. He's talking about the flood there, or he's talking about the flood that occurred, you know, the way the earth was, filled with water, no land, when Satan and his little demons, a third of the angels, left. Could possibly mean that. Most likely, hey, what he has to say about Noah, he talks about Noah. For those of us that think God's not coming back, just remember what He did for 120, not 120 days, for 120 years, Noah tried to preach God. Tried to tell them, it's coming. It's coming. They didn't know what rain was. Rain hadn't started yet. After 120 days, started coming down. You know, I was, as a kid, second and third grader, Philippine Islands. Boy, when the rains came, the ground was so dry. I mean, you know, you went to school and we got out at 12 o'clock because it was so hot to stay there the rest of the afternoon. I loved it. We went early, got out early. You know, if you didn't have a t-shirt and shorts on, you'd burn up. Loved the Philippine Islands. It was an exciting time. But when the rains came, the monsoon rains or whatever they call it over there, I mean, the ground literally, you could have a foot of water, maybe 2 foot. And Mama used to tell us to get out of that water, stuff out there you don't want in your body. We thought, man, this is great. Get out here and swim, play. Well, the floods came. It's real. It happened. Let's go to Genesis 19 real quick. Verse 12. Somebody read through verse 17 for us. Real quick. This is great. Write this down. Go back and read this later again. And there's other verses that Peter could have used, but he talks about Noah here. Somebody read it for us. Genesis 19, 12 through 17.
Then the man said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place? Or we will destroy this place, because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has done to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city.
There you go. Thank you, sister. Excellent. Thank you for standing up. The Word of God is important to us. It's okay to sit down and read His Word. I like to pray sitting down. I'll pray when I'm driving my car, but I've got to keep my hands on the wheel. So what happened here? Let me give you a little picture. Why Lot is in the city of Sodom, I have no idea. But remember, he just pitched his tent in that direction, and then he was cajoled, or he came into it. And he's got daughters now who are going to marry. He's got a couple of sons-in-law. They're going to marry these dudes. Unequally yoked. Why in the world would a dad let his girl do that? And he's trying to tell the sons-in-law, you know, whether they're married or not. I don't know, you know. He's trying to tell them. He says, look, get up, get out. Boy, that makes some good preaching right there. Get up, get out. That's what he's telling them. And they're looking at him, these young men, looking at him like that old man. He's senile. He's an old man. He doesn't know nothing. And they were joking with him and mocking him. And if you look at the scripture there, God's angels took Lot by the hand, his wife by the hand, the girls by the hand, and had to basically drag them out of there to safety. What happened to those guys in just a moment? You know, our world today doesn't have a clue about geology, geography, chemistry, whatever the other sciences are out there that I don't have time to talk about, like an atom. We can split an atom. And we can do something explosive with it. And inside the center of this earth, like a little M&M candy, that chocolate in the inside, there's this little coating around our land. And you can go to Hawaii or these places where they got these volcanoes. And what's down in there? A fiery furnace, folks. Because that's the deeper you go, we used to, as a kid, well, where are you digging? I'm going to China. No, the deeper you get, the hotter it gets, and pretty soon you get down there to liquid. Boy, God put this thing together, and that's what Peter's trying to tell us, is that God made this world. God intervened at a certain time. He intervened here at Sodom, too. When they laughed, and there's scoffers doing the same thing today. There are people who are laughing today thinking, man, it ain't going to happen, Ron. I had the privilege of going to Louisiana after Katrina. And when we went to see the area, and you could see it was a watermark up on the top of the houses. And you're wondering, how in the world did these people survive? And some of the people I was with helped some of those folks rebuild their houses. And we walked through. They were so wonderful to invite us in and showed us how God blessed their home. How church folks came in and repaired their home and put it back together again so they could have a life and live. But when I saw that, where the water had risen, Mary and I have been to the Hoover Dam. We've seen where the water used to be. You can't tell me that they don't know that a flood occurred here. Ludicrous, the way the world thinks. Oh, we're really out of time. Let me share a few things that I thought were important. This is on another sheet, and if you'd like to take this and make a copy or snap a picture, one of you did that the other day. You snapped a picture of it. You can do that too. These are some great notes. Peter talks about the past world here. He talks about his present day with the scoffers, and he talks about a future when God's coming back. Past, present, future. J. Vernon McGee, where I got that from, was also the one that talked about we live in a 3-in-1 world. Remember that 3-in-1 oil we used to have? I'm not sure I was around that, or I'm not sure what it is, but 2-in-1 shoe polish. Maybe some of you remember that. I'm sorry, I don't. 2-in-1 shoe polish, I'm not sure exactly what that was. But 3-in-1 oil, I remember that. And that's the kind of world we live in. Past, present, future. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is a poem. It's an anonymous, but I thought this was so good I wanted to share it with you. We mutter and sputter. We fume and we spurt. We mumble and grumble. Our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim. When all that we need is a moment with Him. William Barclay said this, in biblical thought, the last time is the end of one age and the beginning of another. That's what our pastor's been preaching. It's not only a time of ending, it is a time of new beginning. It is not only a time of destruction, it is a time of recreation. It is last in the sense that things as they are pass away, but leads not to world obliteration, but world recreation. In other words, the last hour and the last days lead not to extinction, but to consummation. It is the last days. What are we going to do about it? It is the last days. As I've said, we're already in the last days. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to attach ourselves to the world and be destroyed with it, or attach ourselves to Jesus Christ and enter into the glory of the new world that is soon coming? The choice is really ours. It's like I've said to you, I think, a couple of weeks here, because we're talking about generosity in our church. If you give your money to God, nobody can ever take that away from you. But if you put it in a bank, put it in a 401k, put it somewhere else, put it in furniture or something, that's never going to be resurrected. We lose when we don't understand what generosity is. And let me just wrap up with these final remarks from W.A. Criswell, from his little book on Peter that I've shared with you, that little red book I've had a couple of times here. He wrapped up one of his sermons by talking about the Lord is faithful. And this is a time when some of you have lost some loved ones. My wife aches and hurts so much sometimes when she thinks about her mom at certain points. She cries. My brother, my sister, a blessed fact of the Christian faith is that the Lord is faithful and He will keep His promises. No word He has ever said to us by His Son shall ever fall to the ground. But the promises of God in Jesus Christ are everlasting, and amen. And when God's Word says He is coming, be ready. When He says He is coming, dry your tears. When it says He is coming, do not live with a broken heart. When it says He is coming, victory is in His hands. Lift up your head. Lift up your faces. Dry your tears. Be ready for the shout. Ready for the glory. Ready for Christ. He is coming again. This is the promise of God. Therefore, the Lord tells us to lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. He is on His way. And I can hear the trumpet sounding. I can almost see His face. He is coming. Thank you, W.A. You know, I've thought so many times, I never really actually heard Him preach here. I heard Him preach at the convention. I've heard W.A. preach, but I've heard Him a lot on the radio. And all week, God's been talking to me how important that pathway to victory is here. Isn't that our radio broadcast? Okay. Just think about that. After preaching sermons as a young kid, sometimes on the radio you'd find Billy Graham. You'd think, well, Ron, you'd think you'd be done with that stuff. I ain't ever done with God. And I find W.A. He's taught me so much without me even being in His presence. Because of the watermark, because of His faithfulness, because of your faithfulness to reach out to the community, generosity. Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference. I know it does. I've listened to this man. I've learned so much about the Bible. He's taught us such great truths. Some of us, I don't know if you understand what some of the things he has said. But the theology and his thinking and his exposition of Scripture, powerful. And I'm thankful for a man like that. And thankful for my Savior who's coming back. God, forgive us of our sins, Lord. And Father, in the midst of loneliness, may we know that You're our comforter. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort us, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, that Your words tell us in Psalms 23, surely, yes, Lord, surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we will feast at Your table because You're our God, You're our Lord, and You're on Your way. You're going to return. It's true. No matter what this world says, You are truth. Amen.
Thank you, Ron.